Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lana.
And we're here tonight to tell you about Jesus.
Yes.
Now, he saves, but that's not all he can do. He dices,
he slices, spins.
And he spins. So, yeah, do you have a minute? We'd like to come in and tell you about our love for Jesus and the footsteps weren't in the footsteps sand.
Is an investment in your forever.
Is Jesus Richard Burton? Because I'm in if that's the case. Because I do love Richard Burton. He's pretty awesome.
He's a drunken, carousing maniac of a human being, or he was. But
guys, Jesus is a lot like the fall, unbelievable.
Ooh, I like it.
I actually saw that on a church sign yesterday. I was like,
Hey, got it. I have a weird affinity for reading because, you know, I'm in the South. Whenever I drive like home,
that's not why you have a weird affinity for reading.
If anything, that makes you stick out.
You're the anomaly.
I have a weird affinity for reading church signs to find the witty ones. I like those, even though I'm like, I don't like what you do. I like the signs.
Do you like to read them out loud as you're driving? Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I get it.
Cracker Barrel.
Also, it's
fall.
Yeah, what?
Because it's like fall.
Yeah, it's like fall. Jesus.
And the leaves.
I had such a belief in Jesus growing up that I refused to watch the original Exorcist for years.
But if anything, it's a testament to how powerful God's grace is.
A truly heartwarming tale about religion.
I mean, he comes through at the end.
It's about abusing a little girl.
I think this podcast may
get a little raw. It's a cautionary tale. Pastoral tale? Is that the word?
Pastoral? No.
What's the victory? A Pyrrhic victory?
Yeah. What? For who?
I'm just...
Was it a Pyrrhic victory for God?
I mean, they won. They saved Reagan.
It was a Pyrrhic victory, though.
They did.
They save her from Satan or Pazuzu?
Pazuzu, yes. Pazuzu.
Lord. Okay.
Captain Howdy.
So let's get to the meat of it. We're doing The Exorcist 2 Heretic, I guess. Yeah. Is it
Exorcist 2 The Heretic, right?
Right. What did
I say?
Are we
going to use our articles correctly?
Did I say The Exorcist 2 The Heretic?
I think you said Exorcist 2 Heretic.
It's Exorcist 2 The Heretic.
Yeah, which is a weird usage of the articles, but...
Exorcist The 2 Heretic.
Heretic of the...
Yeah. Who was the heretic? Was it
the
Reagan?
Girl? The
Some
woman.
Kokomo?
The woman. Wasn't it the woman who got set on fire at the end?
Susan G. Komen?
Pazuzu?
No, the woman at the end. The one who's...
No, I know. That was her guardian. Yeah, she was in the original one as well. Kitty Wynn plays her.
Yes. Mm. Kitty for the win. I wonder how many times she's had that joke made.
Probably not as many as you'd think.
Yeah.
For the win.
There they both are.
Because I guess ESPN wasn't around when that name was made, so that she didn't
the
get that.
The name was made. Well,
when that name was made.
I think The Exorcist is, if we're just throwing out phrases and sentences out of nowhere, I mean, while we're doing that.
Cut that one out.
The Exorcist is one of my favorite movies.
It's the greatest horror film ever made.
Yes.
Horror film ever made. It's not like one of those like all those nowadays where they try and we're not really a horror movie kind of trying to distance themselves from the genre. It's a horror movie.
You know what's funny?
It's a great film.
I just read an article with William Friedkin. William Friedkin was the porn director of the 70s who made The Sexorcist. I read an interview with William Friedkin where he talked about how he didn't set out to make a horror movie. He just, like, what's weird is, like, filmmakers from way back when made movies about ideas. Like, William Friedkin said he wanted to make a movie that was an exploration of faith, whereas today they're like, I want to make a slasher movie and kill 15 people. And it seems like that could be like a big reason why a lot of horror movies from more recently don't stick to the mind the way that they used to.
There is a, I posted a link on Twitter to this bracket of horror films that's going on off of, I don't know, insert whatever clickbait website is, Mashable or whatever.
Flavor Wire or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Uprocks. Yeah. And it's pitting, it doesn't make any sense how they're doing the bracket, because they're pitting movies against each other that kind of like shouldn't be pitted against each other. Like Night of the Living Dead shouldn't be pitted against Shaun of the Dead, because one wouldn't exist without the other. So you can't say, well, in the end I was like, well, I like Shaun of the Dead more. I guess I like Shaun of the Dead more, so I will choose Shaun of the Dead. But right now, like on the same side is Nightmare on Elm Street and The Exorcist, and I'm like, well, I want The Exorcist to win, because of course The Exorcist is probably one of my favorite horror films, but Nightmare on Elm Street is really good as well. It's kind of, you're pitting the wrong things against each other.
Yeah, I think the Night of the Living Dead and Shaun of the Dead thing's really difficult. It's because if you're pitting those two movies against one another, yeah, it's like you said, they're one is the child of another, kind of. And like Shaun of the Dead is such a different, I don't know, it's like such a different kind of movie. It would be hard to.
It should not beat those movies.
Right.
Some of that bracket, it's idiotic. It, like you said, it doesn't exist without them. I mean,
the only one that I thought of was like, well, whatever the one I voted for against Candyman. And I was like, well, I like
Audition?
No, it wasn't Audition today.
Oh, okay.
I don't even think Audition made it past the second round.
No, that's what lost to Candyman.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's crazy. The whole thing is run, the whole thing's a scam.
Brackets are, it's impossible, but it's impossible, like, it gets to that really liberal, like, touchy-feely thing of, like, you can't judge art. Like, this is the point where I agree with all the people who say, like, oh, you can't judge art. You can't pit art against one another.
Yeah.
Like, this is that situation where you just can't.
But, I mean, but we can and do all the time, so we just make it a popular vote. I think it's absolutely ludicrous that Nightmare on Elm Street beat Halloween.
Well, I agree with that choice, so maybe
it doesn't make any sense.
Well,
I like Nightmare a lot, but it doesn't make any sense that
who directed Halloween again?
But here the thing, like, we do pit art against one another.
Oh, yeah.
but not in the, like, it's not in the form of a popular vote. Like, we're not letting people just vote what is best. Like, we're having engaged, I mean, somewhat intellectual conversations about what the merits, and like this, the like having a bracket isn't necessary. Like, that doesn't discuss the merits of it. It's just like, oh, what do I like? Like, it has no bearing on anything. Like, what are you judging? Are you judging? Like, what element are you judging?
Yeah, so like if they wanted to do, I mean, we posted the Nightmare. I'm sorry, the Friday the 13th ranked in order a couple days ago, but also the. Like, if they wanted to pit The Exorcists against each other.
The Exorcist wins.
That's not, yeah, let's not do
no,
that.
No, no, that's, yeah, of course, no. Exorcist gets the first number one, then it's Exorcist 3, then it's probably that Exorcist remake.
Yeah.
Which one?
The new beginning?
The, or is there a beginning? Dominion, but they're the two versions of it.
So they get third, and then this one gets fourth.
God. Okay, Drew.
Or does it get fifth? Because there are two versions of.
It's a fifth, second. Dominion,
whatever it is,
and there's Exorcist the Beginning, which I don't think, or honestly, I don't think this movie is worse than those. I think there are problems in this movie, certainly, but I don't think those movies are any better.
I
would say they're worse.
Was that it was made?
I don't know, man. I really, really didn't like this.
It was like they said, hey, remember that? There was at one point where I was like. It was almost like they were saying, hey, remember how cool The Exorcist was? Well, we're not going to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, and John Borman's come out and has said that, and he thinks that's the one problem he did have. Because, I mean, this thing did, you know, at some of, like, the worst audience screenings as well. But I don't think it's a failure of execution. I think it's a failure of expectation. I mean, how are you going to make – even look at Exorcist 3. It's a phenomenally worse film than – The Exorcist by leaps and bounds. Although, interestingly enough, John Carpenter was in talks to direct Exorcist 3 at one point. But that would have been neat to see. But, I mean, there's no way. I think this is one of the least... I think there's no way a sequel to The Exorcist was ever going to be successful and good. Like, what are you going to do that's going to please people?
Well, and one of the...
Not this.
No idea.
Like, what if, not this. Whatever it was... Headbands.
I don't think there is anything.
Headbands and blinking lights were, and doves were not the answer.
One of the things that immediately set me off against it was the sound of what I took to be kids screaming in a waiting room at the beginning.
What was weird is that's Ennio Morricone.
I love that. I thought the soundtrack is fantastic, though. And the mixture of like the liturgical, you know, Catholic, you know, Catholic music, and then like this weird, like tribal, African tribal music. It's so odd. It's very off-putting, but like Texas Chainsaw Massacre's soundtrack, I think, off-putting I think it's the only thing that's actually disturbing or troubling about the film, because that's its biggest weakness. It's so not scary.
It's not scary. It's not interest. Like, I didn't find it interesting. I gave it a shot.
Hypnosis isn't a subject that...
It was very 70s.
It's kind... I mean, John Borman is just... I mean, this is Zardoz John Borman. Is Excalibur John Borman.
Deliverance John Borman.
All right,
he's strange, though.
It's weird. So, like, it makes... This movie doesn't... Like, it's kind of like... If someone wrote a nonfiction, like if The Exorcist were a fictionalized account of a book that was a nonfiction discussion of exorcisms, and like that's what this movie feels like. It's like, oh, here's the explanation for something that makes us scary. It's like the prequels, the Star Wars prequels. It's like, here's the science, and Lona, what? I'm just kidding. The problem with this is that they try to explain too much of what causes what. Like, I don't give a shit. It's kind of like, it's like the Patton Oswalt bit. He's like, I don't want to see John Voight's balls. Like, I just like Angelina Jolie. Like, I don't need to see where it comes from. I just need, I just want the thing I want. And I want a demon possessing a kid, and I want it to ramp up slowly, but be awesome.
And what I also want is this now hot Linda Blair to do the same stuff she did in the first Exorcist, because now it's okay.
She refused to.
Yeah, she didn't. That was not her in the makeup. That was a double.
Very clearly not her.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
Also looking like Amy Schumer.
I think I thought the exact same thing, that she looked like Amy Schumer.
And now this is Linda Blair at the height of her popularity. I mean, this is when she's banging Rick James. She's out at Studio 54 every night. So she is, you know, one of the hottest things ever at the point of this movie comes out. All from The Exorcist. Or she may have done other movies. I don't know.
She has.
Yeah, but not a lot. And nothing that she ever did as well with this.
I mean...
Except her comeback as Amy Schumer.
Right. This movie... I can't...
It made me wish we'd pick better sequels.
Yeah, it made me mad at all of you.
Lona, what did you think about The Exorcist? Had you ever seen it before?
I had not seen the sequel. Well, I had seen the sequel, actually. I just didn't realize it was what I watched. Because back in, like, 1995, my grandmother is an avid watcher of Days of Our Lives. And psychiatrist Marlena, also known as Doc, was possessed by the devil during my summer vacation.
That's right, yeah.
And I did not realize then that was the second Exorcist until I watched this again tonight. And I have to just say that NBC did a better job. They did a much better job.
Also, the worst, when I go into a doctor to go through like psychoanalysis or therapy, the last thing I want to see are a bunch of weird kids around me.
Yeah.
Like, I know they can't see
a bunch of broken kids. These kids
I'm pretty sure she was a child psychologist, so it kind of makes sense that that's who was there.
Is that what she was?
Yeah.
Well, it's like Linda Blair's kid was only 16.
And then she was, I thought she was there.
And then Nurse Ratched is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I didn't realize autism existed before Rain Man. So when that girl says she was autistic, I was like, oh.
Well, yeah, because there were still vaccines back then.
That's right.
Yeah, but then it was blamed on refrigerator moms, though. So
what is that? Explain refrigerator
moms. Cold mothers. Like mothers who did not love their children enough or caused them to be autistic. Enough. Yeah.
Oh.
They were called refrigerator mothers. So.
That's what happened to me.
When I was a kid, I didn't realize that the movie Rain Man was about. I mean, I realized he was different, but I wanted to be that smart.
It's fair.
Like, when I was a kid, I was like, I'd kind of trade off the social aspects of it if I got exactly what I... Like, if Wapner's at 5 and I have to watch it and I flip out if I don't, I kind of... Like, I would trade that for the ability to, like, count all the numbers in a deck of cards as they fall to the ground.
Is that so different from you now?
I have to watch the People's Court every single day.
Yeah.
Wednesday night is pizza night. It has to be pizza night.
And Wapner. And Wapner.
Pizza night and Wapner.
Pizza and Wapner.
Is there pizza in the oven right now?
No.
Tyler is also a very good driver.
I'm a very good
He's
driver.
He's an excellent driver.
I'm an excellent driver.
Well, I've also seen him take photos and keep a notebook for him physically and
I think you are Rain Man.
I feel very proud that you guys think that of me.
I think that there would be some I think I agree with you. There would be some kind of comfort in not having to worry about anything. Your whole day was just planned. Yeah.
But if your day gets unplanned, you worry about a lot.
Yeah.
But think about Rain Man now. I mean, with the advent, you know, the invention of DVRs and stuff like that, what would he even do? They should make a Rain Man 2.
I don't know. That's not. Or they could, and they could get John Borman to do it.
Yeah. Rain Man 2 would just be him sitting on a couch watching television shows.
Or Tom Cruise is like his Charlie Babbitt has become a Scientologist and is now trying to cure Rain Man through.
We don't need that. We don't need drugs, psychiatry.
I would love to see a 2-hour movie of Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman sitting in a room with Tom Cruise asking him questions and Dustin Hoffman, imagine the scene from The Master where Philip Seymour Hoffman is asking Joaquin Phoenix, like, did you have sex with him? No. I would pay money to see that. I think that'd be a phenomenal movie.
Thomas Anderson, where are you?
I know.
I think they should get Barry Levinson to do it.
I think it would be a phenomenal movie. It would be watchable. It would be interesting.
Soundtrack.
It would be like that movie, not Cataclysm. Like, it was the movie about the guy who talked about oil.
There Will Be Blood?
No.
Right, that one.
No. The one where it's just one guy talking for 2 hours about how the world is going to break down. I can't remember what it's called. But God damn it. Okay, anyway. Exorcist 2.
Fury?
It's not a poorly made movie. It's just a bad movie.
It's just a poor movie.
Well, that's why I think the problems are with criticisms of it, and that's why I say it's a problem of expectation, is that it gets listed as one of the worst movies of all time, is what it was mentioned as at that point. And it's not that. It's not a good movie by any means.
No.
But there's so much worse than that. Like, it was there's like a list that was like Plan 9 from Outer Space and The Exorcist 2. And it's like, I'm pretty sure there are many other bad things.
There are.
Bad movies come out. He's like, every time, he's like, all right, get knocked down further back. Come on now.
I mean, it's also really not a good movie. I mean, I just don't. If I were watching it on my own and didn't have to critique it via this weird thing that we do, I would turn the motherfucker off. Like, I wouldn't. Like, granted, I think the last 10 minutes are pretty kick ass, but if I were just watching it, I would have turned it off within. I mean, about the time people started throwing shit at the screen, when they put on the headlamps and started talking to each other and have the auditory.
That's so 1970s and all that, psychic bullshit and all that was going on then. It's so of its time.
The writing is terrible. I don't think the acting is bad except for Linda Blair. I think Linda Blair's acting is pretty, bad.
That's why she doesn't have a career. She's not that good.
She's not awful. She's really not.
Did you realize
she's
that
pretty?
Christopher Nolan actually got the idea for Inception from that machine?
I feel like the whole thing, did Insidious or something else, like all these other things crib from it, like this idea of like going into this other world and meeting up when they were like synchronizing their brain waves or something of that nature.
I think what's weird is I think this movie would be an interesting novel, but I don't think it's an interesting movie.
I think what you're saying is it'd be a novel.
It'd be a novelistic novel. I would rather read the novelization of this movie than watch this movie again.
I think it's out.
It was interesting. Like, I was reading the history of it. It was interesting. So what they really wanted to do, like, they just wanted a quick cash grab. Yeah. Like, they had this guy write a script, and they were gonna investigate the original exorcism, like they start to kind of do with Richard Burton's character, and they were gonna use a bunch of unused footage and unused alternate angles from the first film and just make one of those cash grab quick sequels. And then pretty much then Borman got involved. And once he got involved, like, he started rewriting the script, and they, because they liked this whole idea of the metaphysical battle between good and evil, and he started rewriting it, and they said they were just, he and this other guy were rewriting the script throughout the entire filming, and then he got some fungal fever, which, like, set him back for a month, and then
Jesus,
everybody got sick, like, then, like, Louise Fletcher and Kitty Wynn, I think it was, ended up getting... I can't remember. They both got some weird ailment at the same time. They both had gallbladder infections. It's just some. It's just one of those weird. It's one of those weird, cursed, crazy movies where it's not what makes it worse by any means, but it gives it a weird history of. They really just wanted to quick. Let's make some money off it. They were going to get a young guy to play the priest, and then they got Borman, and then they got Burton, and then they ended up with what they had.
And I mean, they had, you know, yeah, Louise Fletcher, James Earl Jones shows up. James Earl Jones, Max von Sydow is in it again.
They had to convince him, though. Like, no one would come, half the people wouldn't come back. That's why they had to write Kitty Wynn's character and bring her in, because Ellen Burstyn just flat out said, no, I'm not doing it again. And Max von Sydow was like, he didn't want to, because a lot of the people didn't like the effect. They thought the first one had such a negative effect on people because of all, you know, a lot of the different stuff that happened. This is an interesting, it had an interesting history there. There's one other thing that I thought was fascinating. I remember now.
In a lot of ways, it's a more ambitious movie than The Exorcist. Like, not really. Like, I don't think it's a more ambitious movie, but in some ways it feels like a more ambitious endeavor. And I would say, to wit, I almost liked the stuff where Burton goes to Africa better than this. I could not have been less interested in Linda Blair in this movie. Like, her tap dance. Hey, Gina. She can't hear me. I saw her like glance at the camera. She's like a cat. She just like glanced and then ran away.
Her tap dance was what I did when I was 10 years old. That's the kind of skill level she was at.
What does it have to do with the movie?
She had a freak out. The tapping got her. It went back to her whoop.
I agree to that. I like the way they shot all the Africa scenes. Like, it was a weird studio set that was like weirdly fake, like that mud city. I loved all the locust shots. I thought those were really just odd.
Except when the demon was talking about itself and it showed a locust flying through the air.
Oh, no, I love the locust flying. Those are the ones I'm saying.
I like the many locusts. I did not like the shot of the single locust.
No, when you were riding the locust?
I think it's so incredibly weird. That's the one that I think is fantastic. It's like, why would you think to do that? It's like, because we can. Let's do it. And it's like...
He was like, because okay. he got tired of people. John Borman, more like John Borm... Oh, never mind. That's your name.
I literally thought... I was like, Brian's going to make this joke. I would bet every penny to my name Brian will make that joke during the podcast.
He literally recut it right after it was released, like his audiences were doing it and being so angry, he literally was recutting it, and they're putting out multiple copies of it, that, you know, versions to sit there and see if they could quell the audience anger. And like I said, it's still, it's so much because it's not a good Exorcist sequel, but what would people be happy with? If it had been the same thing again, we would have gotten the whole Hangover 2, you know, argument. It's like, well, it's just the same thing again.
Also, let's take a minute to talk about that apartment. I heard that Eric Clapton looked at it before Linda Blair, but then he didn't like the rails on it.
You know, that shot of her standing on the ledge was real.
Yeah.
And her screams of terror were real. That was back when they'd fucking do that kind of stuff in a movie. Like, that takes a lot of cojones, my friend.
She was like 17 or 18. You're taking a 17 or 18-year-old and doing that.
Yeah, it's crazy. A 35-year-old's not going to do it. You're going to be like, no, this is a terrible idea.
Ellen Burstyn's not going to do that, but coked
out. She wouldn't even do the movie.
And imagine how coked out Linda Blair was, and she still did it. Like,
I like to think that Rick James was in the background the whole time, just dancing as she was doing stuff. Like,
give it to my baby.
Like, even, but he's Rick James, but he's also talks like Bootsy Collins. He's like, "What are you doing over there, baby?"
Yeah, this movie's bad. I just
basically Rick James is Dave. I think Dave Chappelle's Rick James.
If they had made an Exorcist sequel, If they had made an Exorcist sequel,
we watched it.
I guess they did make an Exorcist sequel that was mostly kind of the African setting. Wasn't that the beginning? That was mostly
Dominion, the double, the dual prequel that was just made twice.
I don't hate that movie. But maybe I would if I rewatched it. But
I don't remember liking either one when I saw it.
I think I like that better. Like, I think I would have liked that better. I think Richard Burton in Africa exploring all this shit, kind of a Serpent in the Rainbow thing. Like, mm-hmm. It would have thrown audiences. Audiences would have hated it. But I think it's the combination of that they halfway did an Exorcist sequel and halfway did an Exorcist prequel. Like, they did a weird, not a prequel, but like an exploration of what caused it all. Like, I think if they had gone whole hog on one of those two ideas, it would have been received at least marginally better. But I could be wrong about that.
I don't think anything would have. That's the thing. I think if they'd made that really cheap version of The Exorcist, essentially, which is what they're talking about doing, just using the old footage, I think people would have responded to it more. They would have responded to it better, but not... It still wouldn't have done well. They would just respond to, like, we respond to all crappy sequels at that point. I think an interesting thing, though, is even The Exorcist 3, though, when Blatty was making that, he didn't want an exorcism at the end of that, and they made him add that. Because that's not the end of Legion either. The book, he didn't even want to call it Exorcist 3. He wanted to call it Legion because of Exorcist 2. As it did so poorly, he's like, I don't want this to be connected to Exorcist at all. It's a sequel, but I don't want it to be connected. And then they made him, essentially they forced it to be called Exorcist 3. And then when it didn't do well, they came back to him and told him it was because of the Exorcist 2. And he was like, I've been telling you that. Why are you telling me that now? It's like, I know.
Oh my God. Could you imagine being in that meeting where someone is just telling you what you've said to them back to you as like as if it's new? Oh my God,
it's like a satire of Hollywood. But I mean, it's why satires of Hollywood are usually not very good, is because the real thing is usually that much more fucked up.
Ooh, the player's good though.
Yeah, the player is good.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think William Peter Blatty is kind of a dick though. So it's kinda,
I've heard that.
I can kind of see him in that situation.
But like, you know what? You know what? The Exorcist is a really good novel.
Oh, it's fantastic. Oh my God. Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's one of the it is one of those where, like, Jaws is obviously a better movie than novel. I like the novel Jaws, but they got rid of the stuff they needed to get rid of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
The Exorcist novel and movie are two of those where it's like, I'd have a hard time telling you which one's better to somebody. Like, the novel is really good.
When I read The Exorcist in college, for a long time I said it was my favorite book because it's really good.
Yeah, I read it in high school, and I remember reading the cover off it. Literally, the cover fell off. It was a really great cover, too. They had this new edition came out. Oh, it was a great cover. It fell off.
Yeah, you said cover and new edition. All I can think of is the edition.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Mr. Telephone Man.
So as far as like as a story, it doesn't really have a plot to speak of, does it? I mean, it's kind of
James Earl Jones is heralding the locusts as Pazuzu.
But he's not
like, 17 year locust, if not now, when? I think it's like the third time I made a locust Rob Zombie reference on this podcast.
And it's not. It doesn't make sense. I mean, it's this utter mishmash that doesn't pull together in that sense.
Like, Borman obviously doesn't care about story. He's like, it's about the metaphysical thing. Like, certainly, that's what I care about.
He does
good versus evil. Is there, if there's an, is there, if there's this question, is there, if there's this great evil, is there also a great good and vice versa?
I enjoyed his introduction of Ned Beatty as Ned Beatty comes carrying the humongous crucifix into the beach house.
Now, I could have watched more of the repartee between Burton and Ned Beatty. I thought Ned Beatty was amazing in the 12 seconds he was in the movie. I thought he was great.
As the spicy flyer guy?
Flight attendant.
The flyer guy. Pilot?
The guy who flies a thing? God.
The air driver? I don't know.
The guy who drives the air car. Yeah, that's it. I really wish we'd have been able to end this Halloween month on a bang.
It's just, it just doesn't.
Oh, I still think it's the best of any of the movies we watched.
No way, man. Pumpkinhead 2, bro. Pumpkinhead 2.
Pumpkinhead 2 is much more entertaining, but it's I think it's still.
I've already got.
Hellraiser was the best of the.
Which one?
I forgot. I'd already forgotten about it.
Which one?
Hellraiser 2.
No, I still think.
Dead 2?
I think Hellraiser 2 is kind of in the middle between. It's not that entertaining, but it's also.
Tyler, I think you mean caught in the middle.
Now he's bringing Dio into it.
Stuck in the middle with you.
In the middle with Exorcist 2.
I don't feel bad about my. I've got good people in my corner. Pauline Kael loved it, and Martin Scorsese actually prefers it to the first one too, which I thought was crazy when I read that. Exorcist 2. When I was reading that, I was like, wow, interesting.
Well, you know, Martin Scorsese also had to come on.
The first one is much better.
Also had to come on stage and forgive Elie Kazan for blacklisting everyone, you know, naming names during the communist trial, so can't trust Scorsese's opinion.
I was going to say, I don't know what that had to do with any of that.
Can't trust
Scorsese. Trying to name check Elie Kazan, weirdly, in our podcast.
I don't know, man.
I just want to make sure everybody knew he named names.
Yeah, I think Martin Scorsese is not without his oversights and taste, and I think this is one of them. Like, this movie is also Martin Scorsese in 1977 was so fucking coked out of his mind. He didn't know which way was up, almost literally. But I agree with you. It's boring, and it's like,
yes,
it has all of, it has all of the things a bad movie has, but I still can't say it's a bad, terrible movie, but I still can't say it's like the worst. Like, it's definitely not the worst. Like, it's not even the worst sequel to a really great movie.
It might be close.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of a
That's
really.
The thing. I'll give you that one, because here's still the problem. I've fallen back on it several times. The problem is The Exorcist. Nothing was going to. I mean, go watch The Exorcist 3. What The Exorcist 3 has, The Exorcist 3 is a lot scarier than this movie. It's still bad.
I don't know that I've ever. I don't know.
It's not good. It's scary.
I don't
it's
know.
Got some frightening
I've ever
scenes.
Seen Exorcist 3.
It's, you're not missing a lot other than some really terrifying scenes and then a bunch of other stuff that you're like, oh, George C. Scott.
The angriest, one of George C. Scott and all his anger. God, it's delicious.
The hospital is his best angry.
I mean, I think the worst part about this movie for me, though, is that when it tries to be scary, it comes off as parody. Like,
when did it try to be scary?
The end.
I never felt it was trying to be scary.
Like, at the end, at the end of the movie, when it has the ostensible exorcism, it felt more like Sam Raimi than William Friedkin. And I think that, like, that really totally turned me off of, like, because I was like, yeah, it's building toward this crescendo, but it was not. Like, it was silly, and I get it, but it's silly.
When Richard Burton jumps onto Linda Blair's doppelganger on the bed
starts necking with her.
Yeah.
That was so gross. Apparently they got along pretty well though, but she said that he was frequently drunk on set.
He was always drunk on set. I love frequently. That's code for Richard Burton is always drunk.
He was never not drunk.
he was always drunk.
All the stories I ever heard were I thought Richard Burton was just drunk all the time.
But he is. I don't think he's not.
He's still drunk, and he's
been
dead. He
was confused by this movie, too. That was what I thought was interesting. He still does it. He does a great Burton-esque job, but you know he's confused as hell by half the stuff he's doing.
Like, especially, like, you know, I spent the scenes where he had the bandana on, the metal bandana, and I spent those scenes looking into his eyes and thinking and wondering, does he know what he's doing in this movie? Or does he not? Because it doesn't need to. That's not a judgment of the quality of his performance. Because by all appearance, Donald Pleasance had no fucking idea what Halloween was about before it came out.
Oh, he did not.
So
that's why his performance is so disjointed with the rest of the movie. Like, he's not in that movie.
No, and I keep, like, whenever I watch Halloween now, after I found that out, I keep watching him. Like, what? What does he think he's in?
He still thinks he's in Puma Man.
My grasp on Burton's acting is based on Bill Murray's impression of him in Scrooged to the bums in the little soup kitchen he goes to. They're like, they think he's Jack Burton. Like, they think he's Richard
Jack
Burton.
Jack
like,
Burton.
Like,
Jack nice. Burton.
Nice. No, I think he's like, come on, Dick, do a couple lines for us. And he's like, all right, and I will turn on by the night. And they start. That's my the extent of who I know Richard Burton from.
Yeah.
Isn't he in Thornbirds? Wasn't he in Thornbirds?
Yeah. I think we lost Drew. Drew is frozen. We'll get him back. But yeah, I mean,
it's such a clear frozen picture too.
It's odd because it's not pixelated. But yeah, it's just, we lost Drew. I don't know, man. I don't know how many more ways I can say this movie's okay. But it's not okay. But I think I keep vacillating between the two opinions is because I don't think this movie's all right. I actually hated it.
It's okay to say that.
But I also loved parts of it. I
didn't like any of it.
I didn't either. I thought the parts with Richard Burton in Africa were really interesting, though. Like when he steps on the needles and falls on the needles and wakes up and James Earl Jones is there.
He's like,
we have the meat.
Richard Burton down in Africa.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just a really fucking bad movie. I just don't get it. What was your favorite moment of this movie? If you had to pick a moment of the
Linda
film.
Blair in her nightgown.
Shut up.
You ask. I can tell you. I can be honest.
Okay.
Can I? Can I be honest with you guys?
You can be honest with me.
That was amazing.
It's just not.
How old was she when she made this movie? 18?
Like 17, 16, 17. Because she was born in 59 and this movie came out in 77. But
she was probably right at 18 is what I was thinking, right around there.
Yeah.
My favorite spot. I told
they're Tyler, pushing it.
My favorite part was Linda Blair in her nightgown.
In that one scene on the rooftop, it looked like she had the largest boobs ever. It was so weird.
She did. And, you know, Rick James is in the background going, that's what I'm talking about, baby. Doing a little shit.
She did end up with some major problems. Did anybody ever watch Repossessed? The comedy. That's another.
That's the Leslie Nielsen movie.
Here is how much I did enjoy the Exorcist 2 is I read a lot of history on the entire Exorcist series. And Exorcist 3, they blame for why Repossessed didn't do very well because Exorcist 3 came out right before Repossessed and then Repossessed had to change its date. I remember it being kind of funny when I watched it one time.
What's weird is Ned Beatty's in it. I wonder.
Is he?
Yeah, Ned Beatty. He's second build.
I did not remember that.
Yeah.
Leslie Nielsen.
I remember that. He's the priest, and then Linda Blair's possessed or repossessed.
Hmm.
I remember it being kind of funny, but again, I saw it when it first came out. So, what I thought was really funny then, I don't know that I would trust now.
Chris Christopherson has an album called Repossessed.
Actually,
it was the soundtrack. Actually, he did that
would make that movie worth watching.
The Linda Blair was actually really busy between The Exorcist and The Exorcist 2. In that 4-year span, she did 6 movies. So I would probably be one of them was Sarah T. Portrait of a Teenage Alcoholic.
Ooh.
Which is she did one that was the TV movie that was so.
No, they were all TV movies between Exorcist and Exorcist 2. Except for Airport 1975 in 1970.
But everybody was in that.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you were alive and acted, you were in an Irwin Allen disaster movie.
I mean, she was, after that, she was in Wild Horse Hank, which I kind of want to watch now, and Ruckus and Hell Night. Yeah, she has managed to parlay The Exorcist into just a career of fame, but only minor fame.
But listen, I mean, how old was she then when The Exorcist came? When she
12,
was in The Exorcist?
12.
Yeah, I mean.
11.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those.
14.
Deals
I don't know.
Where, I mean, look at Haley. Look at Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Where?
He's right behind you.
Yeah. You can't see him because he's so short.
He's been dead the whole time.
he's another one that, I mean, he will be able to get work forever because he's Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah. And I guess it's the horror angle to maybe choose him because maybe Jonathan Lipnicki would be best.
Oh my. Also, I know he did The Littlest Vampire. We watched that a lot at my house.
If you guys are ever wondering where you can find Linda Blair naked, she's in Chained Heat naked and Savage Streets. So I'm gonna go ahead and give that to you guys because I immediately after seeing this, I was like, oh, I'd like to see what she looks like naked.
The Mr. Skin minute from Brian.
we should add that, Brian. It could be Brian's thing. He would
find an actress in the film or actor who's hanging brain and
Mr. Sin.
Hanging brain.
C E N. Mr. Sin.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, Mr. Sin. Mr. Sin's skin.
Sin cinnamon. City.
Cinnobite.
Mr. Sin's skin.
Skinema.
Skinema.
You get it one second.
Skintorama.
I think I'm done with The Exorcist 2. Like, I just don't.
Just throw it away. Just throw it on the ground. Be like, fuck off, you.
Fuck off, guy. I mean, like, it's just honestly, nothing. Like, it just doesn't have anything to. Go ahead, Brian. Drew.
No, go ahead. I mean, I was going to say something similar to what you were saying.
I mean, it's just. It doesn't have an. Like, it's not enough of a story to really. Like, we could spend an hour talking about the silly parts of it, and there are many. Find
I did
him.
Like the face curtain, though.
Find him.
Face curtain.
Pull him to you. Find the same wavelength.
I like how the shower curtain.
I did like how the doctor all of a sudden had this new technique on how to hypnotize people, and instantly Linda Blair knew how to use it. Like, yeah. Once the doctor started freaking out, she's like, now join me.
Or did
now
Pazuzu.
It sounds like it reminds me of the commercials from several years ago. Wasn't it Isuzu?
Joe Isuzu?
Wasn't that the brand? I was like, what was the Zoom Here's Zoom?
It was Zoom. Mazda.
Yeah, it was Mazda.
But there is.
Oh, Joe Isuzu, yeah.
Yes, and a Isuzu car as well.
I mean, stem to stern, this movie is just silly as fuck.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've said that a lot. I just, man.
It's a cash grab.
What could have?
No, it wasn't. That's what they wanted it to be, and that's where they got.
This was the long burn.
They got scammed by John Borman, who turned it into something. The cash grab is what they wanted. He gave them something that didn't work.
At the time it was released, it was the most expensive film that studio had ever released.
Dear God.
Isn't that crazy?
It's like they gave it to Hodorowski or something.
Yeah. And they didn't even have, like, it boggles my mind. And, I mean, I was alive during this time period, so I've lived through it. But think of how difficult some days can be, and we have all this technology to keep us in touch with each other. How the fuck did you do anything back then without being able to, like, have to wait by the phone for phone calls, and you had to have an assistant?
Everybody had a secretary. Yeah, I mean,
right. I'm saying you had an assistant that would just take calls. You had the ticker tape machine that would give you the stock market quotes and stuff like that.
I mean, movies back then made so much money that they just fucking threw. The bottom line was so huge. Like, they made so much money. That's like, I mean, when you think about Kubrick and The Shining, where he just had people on staff reading books for, I don't know if it was months or years, where he just hired people to read books and then pitch them to him. And when he got to The Shining, it was like, done. That's how much money they had. They just hired people to do shit. It's
and
weird.
Those people are still in, like, the studio system, and that's who the people who are fighting progress, because they're like, remember when we had this? It's the old Hollywood part from Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, it really is. But
Grand Theft Auto 5 is a video game, Lona.
My thing I would say is,
thank you. Is it like Star Wars?
Yes.
This entire series is pretty terrible outside of the first one. I mean, that's the thing. It's not a good franchise is the thing, and that's because the first film is so good, and what the first film is,
but also because, what you can do with it, like what more
can you do with it,
right? Yeah. Like, right. I mean, you can't. It's why so many they're easy to make, because you just need a girl in a bed and people to shake the rafters or whatever. Right. Like, I think that's why I'm so often not impressed with possession movies, because I'm just like, The Exorcist did this very, like, you're not adding anything to this.
Oh, but wait, we're going to make her throat look like a face is coming out of it.
But two good ones are, if you're tired of The Exorcist and do want to watch them and you haven't seen them, Exorcism of Emily Rose and The Last Exorcism, the first one, not the sequel.
I also think
those two are really strong.
Ghosts of Georgia?
No, that's Haunting in Connecticut.
I also think the taking of Deborah Logan, it's not technically a haunting movie, spoilers, but I think that movie's really effective. I don't know if it's still on Netflix instant, but that movie's, I think, is, it deals with some dark subject matter. It deals with some very dork subject matter, and I think it's very good. But The Exorcist 2 is not good.
I would recommend watching The Exorcist 3 if you've never seen it, just for, like, there's two super scary shots. Honestly, outside of that, you don't need to watch it. But there are two shots that are like, I remember when we watched it in high school, and it's still the one scene. I showed it to, I get people to watch just the just that on YouTube, just the one scary shot, just to scare the shit out of people.
It's an up-close of George C. Scott's chest. What's all the white?
Tyler, that wasn't his chest.
Oh,
the
man.
Shot up. Up close shot of his starfish.
Yeah, not his chest.
The Exorcist 3, the scene that Drew was talking about was so good, I actually bought artwork commemorating it.
Oh, that's right. It's great. But Legion was an interesting book, too, actually, because I liked The Exorcist so much, I did want to read it. And I read Legion a few years ago. It's good.
I'll have to read it.
It's fine. I won't say it's good.
Is that where the William Peter Blatty canon begins and ends, is with Exorcist and Legion? Is that it?
I don't know of any others. Mm. I know he made some other movies. He made The Night Configuration.
That's so weird.
But I don't know outside of that. I'm sure he had to have written more, but I don't know what.
The Exorcist. All right, so you know what we should do? We should do kind of a cage match. We should watch The Exorcist 3 and Maximum Overdrive and describe when writers become directors. All right,
we'd probably need to watch Ninth Configuration then. I don't know if Blatty directed something before that or not, but that was before Exorcist 3.
Did he not direct Exorcist 3? I thought he directed.
No, he did, but Ninth Configuration was before that. He'd already directed.
Oh. Michael Crichton's directed before.
Who?
He directed a lot. No, he directed The Great Train Robbery and
Sphere.
Westworld. He didn't do Sphere. Sphere is Barry Levinson.
I'm pretty sure he did Sphere.
Nope. He did Westworld, though, and he did another film called Looker, which I liked
a lot. Sticking with the horror theme, we should do Exorcist 3 and Maximum Overdrive.
Exorcist 3, Legion. It's about a group of pathologists.
Yeah. I actually kind of like that idea of doing a face-off. And, you know, if we're pushing the boundaries
of our brackets.
He wrote the script, William Peter Blatty did, for the Pink Panther sequel, A Shot in the Dark.
It's just a shot in the dark.
Would not have guessed that.
Always play. All right, let's end this, son of a bitch.
Let's burn the heretic at the stake. And...
Yeah, because I don't want to waste any more of my time on Exorcist 2.
Yeah, it's not.
I just wanted to make a comment that, you know, most of my life I've felt pretty well read, but being among the three of you, I feel like I haven't read anything sometimes. I'm like, Jesus Christ, these guys. You and Lona and Drew. I'm like, man, you guys have read some shit. And I've read a lot of stuff. Of all my other friends, I am the most read person.
Well, if you tell me what your accelerated reader level is, I can reference some things.
I can give you your Fontes and Pinel level, and then
we can tell you which Goosebumps you'll like.
Yeah,
you might be ready for Fear Street.
The answer is all of them.
The cheerleader series is my favorite.
I like the babysitter series.
My favorite of those teen horror novels is this book called Chain Letter 2, and it was Christopher Pike, not R.L. Stine.
Outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
I also like one by Richie Tankersley Cusick called Trick or Treat. It's also very good.
I have her April Fool's Day I have on my Kindle.
Trick or Treat I liked a great deal.
Yeah. Read also, and you can always read Lois Duncan.
I've made a huge mistake. Hey guys.
You have.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And we'll talk to you again next time on Horrible Podcast.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell.